Hi everybody, we are back with Hannabel and her project about cultural appropriation in music.
Hi Cecilia.
Hi Hannabel, how are you?
I'm good.
So, during your symposium presentation, you advertised kind of a fictional service called What Hindi?
Yeah.
Right? What is that? Can you tell us a few words about that?
So, What in the is a pretend service, and the name comes from an article that's called What in the World is World Music?
Mm-hmm.
Which is an article written by an ethnomusicologist, and who basically asks what world music is, if the term itself is just like a term that's made up by the Western society,
mm-hmm.
and what qualifies as world, if it has to be like a music that meets the expectancy of Western, a Western public who might expect maybe like African chants or tribal music.
Mm-mm.
What exactly does world mean?
Do you feel like world music is always referred to African ones? I mean, I don't, like, if I think about world music or that kind of ethnical music, I just, my mind just pop up African ones. I don't think about Asian.
Yeah, I think Africa first, and then secondly, I think Latin America. But I think
you're right.
I lived in France for a while, and definitely in France, we think about African music first because of the colonial relationship with France.
Mm.
So in France you listen to a lot of African music, but maybe in different Western countries they listen to more Asian world music. I don't know, but
yeah, that's one point. I come from Italy and like I struggle to think about, like, you are talking about cultural appropriation, sorry I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by cultural appropriation?
So I started the topic on this because I came across the term mainly on like social media maybe like a year ago. And then once I came across it, I seemed to come across it more and more often.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of wanted to go beyond the cultural appropriation that is, you know, Kim Kardashian, who had like cornrows, plaits and stuff, which was called cultural appropriation on Instagram. I wanted to go beyond that. And then I started looking into collaborations and how sometimes there can be a dynamic of appropriation between some music collaborations between Western and non-Western artists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much limited to cultural appropriation anymore. It's more just about kind of how some cultural collaborations can be a bit sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the purpose of your project, actually, like raise awareness on the...
Yeah, I think so.
You're kind of making a distinction between Western and non-Western culture. Do you think the risk of that could be like to divide more than unify those two cultures?
Yeah, I think with my symposium presentation I definitely focused on like the controversial examples, but there are also like some really fruitful examples of collaborations between non-Western and Western artists. I kind of focused on examples such as Paul Simon's album Graceland that he did with
Who's Paul Simon?
So Paul Simon is an American musician, and he did like an album called Graceland in collaboration with an African group which is called Lady Blacksmith Mbazo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing album, and it got really good sort of criticism, but on the album cover it only says Paul Simon. There's no like obvious credit to the group he collaborated with.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very controversial, so I used that as a central example to my presentation because I felt like it really translated my idea properly, although it was the most extreme example, just to prove my point that there is some there's a complex relationship that exists there. Yeah.
But do you think it would have sold less? It would have sold less if it would have put like the name of the other band, the black band, into.
I think maybe. I think it's been said in literature and stuff that he had a really genuine interest in their music, and their collaboration was very friendly and very like quite healthy. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Maybe it was just like a miss. You know, maybe he just didn't think about it too much. Or maybe he's just, obviously he has the, I guess, economic power of coming from the US and of being associated to that economy and that kind of the status you get from coming from such a big superpower.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he did think it was a good idea that they sort of nest under his name in the album.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just didn't think about it too much because maybe in the 80s it wasn't such a...
Okay, so you produced it in the
80s. Yeah, so it came out in the 86.
Yeah, makes sense. So like at the very beginning you say that you were like talking about France and the fact that you colonized Europe.
Yeah.
Colony, sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about Italy, and actually our history of colonization is not so strong as yours. And actually we don't really have this issue of cultural appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's related to that colonialism? And if yes, in which way? I know it's a very complex question, and if you don't, like...
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I think, I mean, one thing, I don't know if this answers your question, but one thing I'd say is just that I didn't come across this word much in when I lived near Paris. I feel like in the UK there's very much this culture of things go mainstream very quickly. Mm. And I think social media is so much more bigger than in France and maybe other European countries.
Mm-mm.
So when... and also people are a lot more self-aware, I think, here, and a lot more politically correct. Maybe sometimes
yeah.
too much. Maybe,
yes,
but maybe it also...
Yeah.
yeah, but it does also, I think... Yeah, as a consequence, maybe it can. It does have some positive consequences, I guess, for some movements.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, right, because
yeah.
we're only looking at the bad side, but there's also
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah, definitely,
one.
Yeah.
So, like, going back to your fiction service, you try to use the parodies. I mean, have you tried to use the parody as a way for communicating that? Are you thinking about bringing this tone of voice forward, or...?
Yeah, so the service I pretended to represent is called What In There, and it was this pretend service where that claimed to tackle cultural appropriation within music collaborations by a particular sort of album design, that
mm.
it would kind of help through aesthetics. So obviously it's kind of... not a very convincing proposal, which was the idea. But I think now, I think it was very sort of self-mocking, and I was kind of trying to say, my point is that it's a very complex subject, and that you can't just say, "Oh, use design to fix this or
yeah,
to solve
sure.
this." It's just so layered. So I think my point was just, okay, it's difficult, it's layered, it's complex. So I've kind of made this point with satire, but now I think it's time for me to kind of go beyond that and actually think of some way of like. Addressing it in a more maybe
always focusing on music, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so, because I have a particular interest in world music collaborations.
You were focusing on like covers, CD covers. Do you think? Have you thought about also like music videos or the way the groups are represented on?
Yeah. I looked into that for my research. There's like a collaboration between Coldplay, Beyonce. I can't remember what it's called now, but Him for the Weekend,
mm-hmm.
and it's filmed in Mumbai, the slums
mm-hmm.
in Mumbai. So I looked into it a bit then, so that might be something worth kind of looking into further.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we have 2 minutes left. I wanted to ask you, what did you put in your drawer?
So I just put, because the idea was to kind of promote my company, I just put postcards with my company logo on it,
mm-hmm.
and then on the back there's just the link to my Tumblr account where there'll be more information
and you invite
my research documented.
That.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I saw the proposal, that the design that you thought for your brand.
Yeah,
what were you trying to communicate? Like, I remember you chose like blue and red colors, or kind of ethnical motifs.
Yeah, I mean, throughout there was supposed to be one colour that was clearly representing the West, and one colour that was non-West. So it was just kind of that. There had to be this obvious binary that red was red was West, I think, and blue was non-West.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Kind of it.
Mm. Cool. And, yeah. Nice. And it's like... kind of gadget that you've shown us were like a vinyl record, and then you had kind of Facebook page.
Yeah, so just I built the brand a bit, and I made a Facebook page with all these comments that kind of said how useful the service was,
mm-hmm.
and then I also made this vinyl that people would get for free if they subscribed to my service.
As it was like a kit that people would save at home.
Yeah, and then you could listen to it, and it would kind of give you some advice. So the idea is that different companies who are scared of being victims of cultural appropriation, they'd come to my service.
Okay, so like
and
it's a service, it's like a B2B service for companies that wants that to come. Cool. And then good luck with your project, and
thank you,
we look forward to see your progresses about it. Cool. So we are done with Hannibal, and the next one is gonna be Linda.